We're talking about basketball, right? We're like a week away from seeing preseason games or something. Like, I don't know exactly how far away, but
pretty quick,
like,
man.
It's in no time. You know, training camp just picked up. We saw NBA media day. There's all sorts of news, you know, bouncing around about different things. Like KD, Nash, did they work it out? They seem like maybe they had a moment. Whatever that means. I don't know how anybody with Nash's level of pedigree as far as a player, like, just ignores what KD just did. I can't imagine. But anyway, you know, that's something that needs to be figured out. But then another conflict between a coach and a player. We're talking about DeAndre Ayton and Monty Williams. They haven't talked since game 7, bro. So that was one of the all-time classic bad endings. It reminded me a lot of the way Ben Simmons and Doc Rivers ended the season in Philadelphia, and we never saw Ben Simmons play again. It was, he got thrown under the bus for not taking shots, you know, and so those are kind of like peripheral things, you know, that we're watching in the NBA. You got anything to add about either of those coach-player conflicts?
Yeah, man, the Monty Williams thing, like, listen, there are going to be young players that just don't play up to a game 7. And sometimes the best thing you can do for their careers is benching them. I've been there, man, where we had this, you know, phenomenal player in high school. And, you know, my senior year, he went out there and just nothing went in. I think he shot like 0 for 14 or 0 for 15 in the game. You know, he choked hardcore, right? And it's not that you're like, oh my God, like, what the hell, right? But when at the last 2 minutes of the game, he was benched. And it wasn't anything against him, but it's just sometimes you can't put those guys out there. You just can't. You're like, you haven't hit anything. You haven't, you know, you're not going to, you know, all of a sudden start hitting shots, you know? Mm-hmm. And with DeAndre Ayton, like, he just wasn't playing up to game 7. And guess what? He got benched. So what is he going to do next time? He knows the standard. He knows what he needs to do. And he can take that as an insult. But I guarantee you during the season, when Coach Monty Williams says, hey, it's game 7 time, guess what? He's going to know what that means. And if he doesn't step up, he's going to fucking sit right down next to Coach Monty Williams.
All right, man. Sounds like you're still living in the past, bro. That's cool. I get it. That's how we would have handled it in our day.
It's not about handling in our day. It's about, you know, teaching a young player an important lesson. If this was an NBA veteran, you don't do this to an NBA veteran.
Bro, he was the number one pick.
Listen, a young player.
Yeah, but my point is,
first contract. Young player, first contract.
Right, and they matched. So he obviously went out there and got a contract with Indiana that he wanted to go play. But not talking to him? Bro.
Listen,
bad sign. Bad sign of leadership right there.
I understand, but...
And I'm a big fan of Monty Williams.
I'm a huge fan of Monty Williams. And that's why I feel like there's more to this story than just listening to this thing on Twitter. Is what, you know, he was asked, hey, when you coached Monty Williams, and he immediately interrupted him and says, we haven't talked at all. Like, there, to me, listen, the way that he was emotional like that, there's more to this fucking story than we're understanding. Okay, it's a long season. He's been there for a couple of years. There's more to the story. And what that part is, we don't know.
Bro,
but they'll work it out.
I've been a big fan of Monty Williams. But let's face it. When he reunited with Chris Paul, and they talked about the time in New Orleans, it wasn't all kumbaya moments. It was like he was too hard. He was too critical.
He's a harsh coach, yeah.
Too controlling. Right. And now, true, like, people were like acting like, oh, look, he's so much more mature. He's worked through it. You know, life has softened him, all this shit. And then now we're looking at it like he's run into another problem where his will is like, anyway, we'll move on.
I hope they can figure it out, because if they can't figure it out, they'll be looking for a new coach.
I really appreciate his family. I appreciate him. But I'm just saying, that's not good. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you're from.
What's your longevity as a head coach to a team that you can't figure out how to win and you have a championship caliber team?
Right. And Oh, and by the way, you're having conflict with stars on the team.
So that's what I'm saying. This is his last year. He figures this out or he's done.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if James Jones has the kahunas to make that call after, you know, whatever, but he needs to. We'll see. That's a big time. That's a big boy decision to get rid of a coach like Monty Williams after he got you to the finals. But
yeah, it might be. We've seen it happen before for younger coaches, you know, younger in their aspect of coaching career, head coaching career.
Like Rick Carlisle got fired right before Larry Brown led the Pistons to a championship, right?
Yeah.
Carlisle was, you know, he was legit. And he went on to prove that, you know, Indiana, then Dallas. And we're obviously talking about the Thunder here, and we've got some news that is blah. Like, Vit Krejci has been traded. I liked Vit.
I did too.
His whole time there, I've said his name right now like three times. But now he's off to the Hawks. We're getting a player that I really, really liked 5 years ago. But Mo Harkless, we're getting him. But we're getting a second-round pick, which means...
But there's no way we keep him.
Right. I mean, but here's... We say that, bro. No way we keep Mo Harkless, right? But in the reality, we always have veterans.
Okay, so if we keep Mo Harkless...
He's a professional.
And we try to reunite him with his better years, right?
Or at least... You know,
which younger guy are we getting rid of?
I'm not worried.
Because here's now, we don't have to get rid of anybody else, I don't think.
Okay, but I feel like we got rid of too many people too fast. Like, we saw Ty Jerome not go to Media Day. He said bye, bye, bye. We already saw Isaiah Roby bye, bye, bye early in the summer. Krejci is gone.
But that's the three places that we needed to in order to fill those spots. And now we don't have to cut anybody. That's why I was saying is, like, if we keep Mo Harkless... Maybe it's because another injury, but to me, like at this point, we don't have to cut any of our young, really good players like Maladon and other players like
that. Does Mo have any use to any teams in the NBA anymore, or is he just like a buyout?
I listen. He could buy out and go sign to the minimum with the Blazers because where he had his best years.
Like, he seems like a future coach. Like, he's got that type of. You know, he's played at a really high level for a lot of really high level coaches, and he understands the modern NBA. And I feel like, yeah, we wouldn't want to see any of the young players lose a spot. But if, like, say they did have a plan to move on past Derek Favors, right? Mo Harkless could be plugged into that. Like, basically, you're here to show the young players what it means to be a professional role.
Which I would love. Mo would be somebody who'd be great for that.
He would be great for that, but at this
stage, he's cheaper than Derek Favors,
right?
By like $6 million or $5.5 million or whatever it is.
But so. In the end, more than likely, we're not keeping him, and we're probably going to keep Derek Favors for just a little bit longer until, you know, like, he has some value as an expiring contract. So as soon as somebody's willing to, like, recognize that their A plan has fallen apart and they need to bail out with an expiring contract, he's there.
You know what I want to see?
Yeah.
A young, injured big man that gets injured for the season that will be back next season that will fit our scheme a lot better, that we could trade Derek Favors for that young player and we could have, you know... When I say a young big man, I'm talking, like, solely to the aspect of being that physical body that Derek Favors is. And, you know, we always need somebody like that on our bench. We don't need the traditional big man for every single game, but there are teams that we have to have more traditional big man because, you know, playing against DeAndre Ayton or playing against Yoka or Embiid or whatever, you have to have somebody that can take a lot of the banging and bruising and cause the other players to get tired. And that's the great thing about, you know, having a big man rotation like this Thunder team is going to have. But Derek Favors, to me, is a great player to have, you know, in the locker room, on your bench, and putting in a good 12 to 14 minutes a game. Does that fit with this Thunder team? That, you know, I think he has value even halfway through the year for a trade partner. So a $5 million, you know, trade piece. You got a big man that's injured, not going to make it. You know, you need another big man for the playoff push. I could see something like that happening. You know, let's just say, you know, a team like the Timberwolves, right? you have a player, you know, they just went out and got the Utah big man, Gobert, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's just say, like, he gets injured and is out for, you know, like 2.5 months just before the playoffs. Like, this would be a perfect opportunity for them to go out and get a player that's similar to what he can do and essentially helping Cat still understand his role. So, again, these are the moves that we'll see as time goes on. But, you know, we want to make sure that we really help any team that we can make that playoff push if that's what they're trying to do, because we could pick up a first rounder for a piece like that when you're desperate.
Yeah. I mean, for sure, there's a number of reasons why, but it's one of the situations where we get paid a first rounder to take him, paid a first rounder to get rid of him. And
yeah,
that's Sam Presti's DNA, really. So
yeah, so why get rid of him? Right. You know, like, keep him on your team
until right now, the right opportunity, right? So let's talk a little bit about Shea. Bro, I felt like we were getting rebuked quite a bit at the media day. Shea makes it really clear he wants to say Sam Presti. Like, look, we just explored the ideas that the rest of the media was talking about, and we just said, like, does Shea want to stay if it's going to be another year, right?
And bro, you know what we did?
What
we did is simple. Was we wanted to ask the questions that nobody else was asking.
Right.
We wanted to clarify the questions that nobody else was asking. Like, we put out there some ideas, like, if we had Shea, right, at full strength, and we have Josh Giddey at full strength, you know, like, and no Chet, how does this hurt the team? Like, these are the questions that Sam Presti even addressed by himself and talking to the media before it was question time. You know, like it was the cohesiveness that he was excited about and all this other stuff. So for me, like, I understand that we chapped a lot of people's asses by doing some of those, you know, episodes. But, man, I got to be honest. I'm glad we did, because to me, it's like, here's the thing. If we didn't, there wouldn't have been so many questions at the media, like, are you committed to this team? Are you committed long term to this organization? Right? There wouldn't have been as many, like, or hints to that, because that would have ended. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if we would have been able to sit here and say, oh yeah, Shea's staying with the Thunder 100%, if it wasn't for some of the questions that we brought up. We brought up some of the questions that, you know, a lot of diehard fans that know a lot about basketball were asking. You right. know, a lot of people in the NBA were asking, because guess what? Yes, if you're looking at young, talented players under 25 years old that have all-star potential, it's a small amount of players out there. So, of course, from Donovan Mitchell, people would be like, okay, now he's off the trade block. Who's the next person? Right?
Right.
And you're looking at a list and you're saying, okay, well, this player, this player, this player. And again, it goes back down to disrespect towards Shea. Because if this is the way that Shea is looked at by the rest of the NBA as a top 25 player, and then the ESPN ranks him, what, 66th? It just shows you the disconnect from who Shea is and the player he is.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, we were never saying trade Shea. We want Shea to be on this team for the rest of his career. But we were saying is we have to also sit back and say, Shea, what is your desire? Because that's what Sam Presti is going to say to Shea whenever a big moment like this happens. Like, we this is not the old NBA where we own the player's contract, we own them. Yeah. This is the old NBA where any player or any organization that says, we own your contract, you're going to stay with us, and the player revolts, turns into a Paul George situation where you get a fraction of what he's worth.
Right.
And that's what every team wants to avoid. So if Shea goes to Sam Presti and says, I want out of Oklahoma City because it's going to be another 2 years of getting this team together, then Sam's going to have to say, all right, let's try to work out a deal to a team that you want to go to. Because if he doesn't, it's all over.
And
that's why, to me, like, it's we brought this stuff up not to cause issues, but because we love Shea.
Right.
And we support him no matter what he decides.
And I thought it was pretty rich to hear Andrew Schleck ask Shea how he felt, you know, about being around, was he committed to the team, and how he felt about people talking about him potentially being traded when Andrew has literally started all the trade rumors.
Oh my gosh, dude.
Ever since he was like, Cade Cunningham, like, trade Shea for sure for Cade Cunningham, and then, like, next thing you know, you hear Bill Simmons talking about it, and it's like, I'm telling you, I don't care what anybody says, shit runs downhill. And I'm telling you, there's some bullshit being passed around there. We only asked the question, how committed was Shea to the long-term future if we knew Chet was going to be hurt and is going to take longer, right? That's what we asked.
But we also asked,
literally, who was trying to give him away for Cade, which will look pretty bad historically when this is all done.
Well, and we also asked the question, and it was one of our most listened to episodes recently, was, you know, how does Josh Giddey and Shea mix?
Right.
Like, how does that combo work? You know, is there an opportunity for us to trade because of the it's going to, you know, decrease how valuable Shea is? You know, like, these are things that we're working out. Like, we understand that they're not necessarily popular ideas and thoughts for Thunder people, but to us they are. And the reason is because we look at Josh Giddey's game as the next level game.
Right.
Like, and whenever you see a next level game, you have to stop and say, you know, whether it's Luka or Joka or, you know, Embiid or fill in the blanks of these young athletes that are coming up, saying, does this person mix with this person? Are they going to be able to combine on a team and do things that are proper?
Yeah. We need that James Worthy for our Magic Johnson, right?
We watched them play 20 games together last year. That's it.
Right.
You know, like, of course we're going to ask this question, because the second Shea goes down, you see Josh Giddey come out with some insane stats. Right. And that wasn't because Shea went down. That was because Josh was becoming more familiar with the game.
Right.
You know, like, together, they're going to be an unbelievable combination. Maybe one of the best young duo combination in the league. Duo guard combination in the league.
Right.
They're going to make teams stop. It's not about who plays point guard. It's not anything like that. That's not how our offense is run. There is no set point guard.
Right.
You know, it's running a team run point guard, just like we run a team run big man. And sometimes we're going to have three big men on the floor at one time. And it's just going to happen. And I'm okay with that. And it's just going to be the rotation and the way things go. It won't be long, but it will happen. That's what I love about this team, bro. It's going to have so much, like, you know, I look at it like this. Is the NBA is like a one dimension, right, man? So you got this one dimension with the NBA versus, like, man, I've been getting into watching a lot of footy, right? The AFL from Australia, you know?
Yeah, dude. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm pulling up the window right now. I'm going to hit share, and I got to go check on my dog really fast. And I'm going to hit play.
Okay, cool.
You explain what we're watching, bro.
Well, this is just one of the matches that I was watching. It's the Geelong Cats versus the Sydney Swans. It was the championship. Man, this is just insanity. First of all, this is becoming my favorite sport right here. I love basketball, and that will always be my favorite sport. But anything that is this insane, this physical, this intense. Like, look at the crowd, first of all. Everybody's going fucking bonkers. Look at this pitch, man. It's massive, okay? And you're looking at this, so much is going on. And when you're talking about hits right here, when a pass is thrown over top, there's knees in the back of the head like I have never seen before. It is a gnarly sport. I fucking love this. This is way better than American football. The physicality, the reality is that this makes American football looks like the WWE, like fake football, because of, like, oh, you can't hit him here, you can't hit him here. This is real man's football. This is the way that football is supposed to be played right here. Like, straight up motherfucking getting hit, getting demolished, getting smashed, man. Like, I have yet to see anything like this. This right here has really got me excited. I watched this right here as a highlight because I was looking up some of the stuff that Josh Giddey has done. And one of the things that Josh Giddey was able to do was Tom Mitchell, which got to the semifinals of this year's league play, which is great. He plays for the Hawthorne Hawks. He does this thing with Josh Giddey, and I watched it, and I got like, oh man, some of these passes and the way he's kicking the ball and the angles that he's kicking the ball is like truly spectacular, and I get excited about it. I'm like, man, if this is the way it's played, I want to see more, right? So then I pulled up this game right here, and I started watching the highlights and the knees in the back of the head, the way that he's catching the ball like this right here in the box, and how much it counts for points. Like, I get really amped up. Like, there's like so many different aspects to this game. And I keep thinking about Josh Giddey's game, right, man? And how Josh Giddey's game really reflects to this. And it goes back to this moment that we watched Josh Giddey on the sideline, right, Mark? He's just observing. Before he takes the ball, right? Watch Josh Giddey, guys, this season. Before he takes the ball off out of the sidelines, he steps on the court and he just watches, right?
Yeah.
Okay? And it goes back to this. So much is going on right here. You always have to watch everything that's going on. Everything. You always have to see where guys are open, where the ball is coming at. Are you going to get kneed in the back of the head? Because these guys get like fucking destroyed out there. And if that's happening, right? And then all of a sudden you go in and start playing in basketball. Because Josh Giddey, this is what Josh Giddey did for a while, play footy up until he's 16, he said. So if this is the way everything is going and all of a sudden basketball starts becoming your main sport, it goes from like three-dimensional, right, to all of a sudden one-dimensional. Because basketball is such a softer sport of sorts, right? Yeah. It's a, like, not as fast pace. Like, there's not as much happening. There's, you know, easier passes than here. You don't have to worry about kicking the ball. All of a sudden it becomes way easier. And then you see Josh Giddey make these insane passes. It's because he's learned how to watch players out here, how to consistently communicate with guys and move around. Like, listen, I watched so many times in the three matches that I have watched now, okay? And I've watched three full matches in the last, like, 12 hours, okay? Like, yeah. Every single match that I've watched, there's a lot of eyes moving. Communicating with the fucking eyes. That's what Josh Giddey does so well.
Yeah.
Like, him and Kenny, eye communication, boom, boom. But this has quickly become, and I was telling Chencho today, actually, just before we got on the podcast, I was like, man, I'm so into this. You got to check these guys out. And, like, the Swans are great, man. And, you know, especially the fact that Thomas Mitchell played for the Swans early in his career. But I really love the way that the Geelong Cats play, man. They're super physical. They're super intense. Obviously they're incredibly good this year. This is the championship game, and they just blew out the Swans. But I also like the fact that this is the team that we watched, Mark, that special about the other day, where they went into the stands and they pulled out that kid from the stands to party with them, right? Yeah. Like, this is exactly what I like to see, man. Look at the place, man. The stadium is fucking rocking, man. I the excitement, right? Yeah. And then you see Josh Giddey pick basketball over this, man, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is what he grew up watching and going and watching games at. And then you see Josh Giddey, and he picks the sport that he's picked. And I get excited, man, because now we get to watch Josh Giddey make these insane passes. And it's because he learned how to pass the ball in a crazy way by playing footy. Right? He learned how to position himself playing footy. He learned the physical contact. When you get contact, how to finish with it. Like, listen, Josh Giddey has molded his game using footy as the prime example, man. And if you think about that and truly understand that, like, Josh Giddey is going to be one of those players that people are going to stop and wonder, how the hell did he slip that far in a draft? Because this young man is playing footy while everybody else is playing basketball. And to me, that's the most impressive thing I've seen, because footy is one of the most complicated, beautiful sports I have yet to see. It makes literally the NFL, which is National Football League, look like they play WWE. Because these hits, these grabs, the knees to the back, the pushes, bro, this is a man's league. This is a fucking man's league. And this is why I will always continue watching footy because I'm hooked, bro. I'm hooked on a insane level. This is insanity, bro. True insanity.
So, like, when you watch the game a little bit, you notice a lot of kicks. So, with that,
but it's what I watched is it's oh man, this is what makes me excited. It's the footwork of the kicks that Josh does. Right?
Yeah.
And he uses that power to transfer to the pass. You see what I'm saying? Like a 51-yard or 51-foot pass for Josh Giddey is like a flick. Yeah. How is it only just a flick? Well, it's because he learned how to pass using his feet from footy. For using his lower body by footy.
Yeah.
Positioning, you know, and dude, listen, I'm telling you guys right now, if you listen to our show and you love our show, you need to continue, first of all, watching these highlights.
First of all, this is just one game. Get some help. You're going to need some help in life. Get some psychiatrist or something. If you listen to our show, you're fucked. That's my first thing. Second thing.
Listen, I don't know, Mark, if you know this or not, but when I went to the military academy, which is in Big Sandy, Texas, it's not really a military academy, but we'll call it a military academy just because the way they fuck with you.
Okay.
But when I went there, they had a team, which was a rugby team, right, man?
Right.
And they would go play against other smaller colleges because, you know, whatever. And it wasn't really like that big of a deal, but, you know, I participated. That's how I broke my thumb. And I participated in it for about, I don't know, 12 games before I hurt my thumb. Bro, listen, I've never been so sore after matches, man. And rugby is an intense sport. But watching footy, man, I literally was just like, this is beautiful. Like this right here.
I like how fast it moves up and down the field. Like where sometimes I feel like rugby, you're sitting there watching a lot of scrums.
Yeah.
You don't really have that in footy. And because of that, I think players are hitting, like, I don't know a lot about rugby, but I feel like rugby is a game of maximum strength, whereas footy is a game of maximum athletic ability. Like, I think about when some of the most fun memories I have of being a kid, right, is like playing ultimate frisbee. Because you can run as fast as you can jump as high as you can. And that's what you should see in footy all the time. People going at full speed and like laying it all out there. And they're not wearing any pads or helmets or anything. So,
like, it's a fun. Real man sport.
Right, and I think that it kind of like speaks to his durability. And we know Josh Giddey's dad had his number retired for his NBL team. So basketball is in his blood. It's not like, he was going to for sure be a footy player. But I think for him, he looks at that as actually like he had to make a choice. Mm-hmm. Like he had to pick one or the other. And he went with basketball. But for us, like watching some of the skills outside of the kicking, even though, like you're saying, the kicking teaches how to be on balance, how to be in position, and how to make sure that, you know,
you're passing with your lower body, which is something that, again, you're using the strength to do that, which is not something that's very common for basketball players to know.
Right. And a lot more on the basketball court is happening in a very short amount of space. So, like, understanding, though, as the game of footy condenses around a goal or goalpost or whatever they're really called, right, that's when you have to be really elusive in your passes because there's a lot of defenders in this small area. So these one-armed hook cross-court passes when he's looking the other way and stuff like that, it's not exactly a footy pass, but it has that. Another thing I kind of noticed is Giddey has this tendency to go into like a crab dribble, if you will, like when he's doing his spin move, if the defense pressures him, he knows how to like protect the ball with his body without picking it up, right?
He absorbs the contact with his ass, essentially.
Yeah, exactly. And he can kind of like cover it, keep the ball dribbling. And then when he, you know, has the ID, the defender, taking away his momentum, he can then keep his dribble alive as he goes. And I used to look at that as like maybe he doesn't have the best handles. Right, like you'll see, like Kyrie, like he'll always have the ball on the tip of his fingers, right? And Giddey kind of like had it like more like it protected, but I look at it now as like that's probably more like a footy skill than it's like.
But
a
that's
lack
what
of
you
handling.
Teach in the NBA,
right?
You teach in the NBA to protect the ball. Like, listen, the skills with footy translate to the NBA, and we're going to see a lot of talented players come out of Australia. And yeah, obviously we've seen a ton of them already come out, but we're going to see more and a higher level of them, Australian players, because if footy is what you start with, right? It translates to basketball so much more, much better, you know, like the positions and the post area and the post plays. And like, listen, it translates. And I think that's why I keep on looking at what Josh Giddey's done with this footy thing. And how he started and played footy and then translated that to basketball is why he's going to be so successful in the NBA. That the way he protects the ball, right? He's going to do less and less turnovers. The ball's not out here. The ball is in here. You know? If the ball was out here, just like in footy, it's going to get knocked around everywhere. Where he keeps it in here and he lets the plays develop, or he lets his footwork develop, and then he's able to flicker it using the foot strength, man. I know. I just like totally geeked out on AFL footy, but bro, this is because we have an Australian player, and he's made it very known that like he enjoyed footy very much. He enjoyed playing it. When you watch him describe it, and guys, go to the YouTube video that you can pull up about Josh Giddey describing playing footy, right? And the rules and the contact. Like, he gets passionate about it. And that's what started this whole thing, was listening to Josh just talk about how footy like is such a beautiful, amazing game. And I was like, all right, you know, I'll go pull it up. I'll go take a look at it. And it made me so fucking excited, because now I'll never be the same as far as sports goes again, because like, you know, watching the NFL is great, because that's what I grew up watching, you know, for the last 30 years I've done so. But AFL is such an unbelievable sport. Like, I don't know, man. I can't wait till the season starts. Like, this is going to be fun to be able to have another team to be able to start cheering for. So, it guys, listen. I know we got a lot of, you know, AFL and Australian people out there that listen. If you have a favorite team and player or whatever, I'm getting into it. So please share with us. You know, just your favorite team, favorite player, because I want to know more about the sport as much as I can. And I feel like, you know, just by the outpouring last time that we talked about Josh Giddey and footy, like I felt like there's an opportunity that I want to know more about the sport. And so if you're listening to the show, like, reach out, let us know, because I'm all in. This is insanity, and I love it.
Absolutely. And we got to wrap it up now. We got limitations, bro. We cannot upload unlimited size of files as we would wish. If you're listening or if you're watching on Apple Podcasts, you know, that's where the limitations are. But I just want to give a quick shout out to three people, fans of footy, fans of the AFL, who have hit us up. The first one is BRTHGI. We appreciate your comments about Giddey and putting us in this direction of watching some footy. That really started us down this path. And Brian Sinat, we appreciate you listening letting us know that we're on the right path. And we're going to keep digging, because we're just getting started. Hanish, I think I said it right. You got some dumb horns.
Hamish.
Okay.
Something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, dude, I'm sitting too far back, so I see what you're saying. Hamish, dude. We'll go with it. We're pumped to have you guys listening. It's been a lot of fun. We're learning more and more about a new game. And we're also going to take some time in the coming days to learn more about the NBL, which is obviously the same game we love, just played in different areas. I want to see if I can find some highlights of Josh Giddey's dad playing. I know we got his number retired, so they must be out there. If you can point me in the right direction,
yes,
do it, and you'll get a shout out. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. If you join us for The Last Storm, The Yankee Death Star, or No Offense Sports, we love you. We will see you Friday. Football, it's going to be wild. Bro, before we go, we have 90 seconds, bro. Who's playing Thursday night?
Yeah, man.
All right. We're in trouble, guys. We're running out of time. Oh my god, dude. Alright, so basically, if you're still with us, you're one of the few.
Dolphins, Bengals, baby. Ooh. Dolphins, Bengals.
Ooh, bro, you gotta pick
Are
now.
Are the Dolphins for real?
Bro, you gotta pick now. 45 seconds.
Dolphins, baby, Dolphins. Let's do it.
Dolphins?
Yeah.
You're gonna give me the Bengals? Alright, baby.
Give you the Bengals.
I got
layup
that.
For you, baby.
I got that. Alright.
Alright.
See ya.
See you guys.